My name is Mike Morgan.
Thank you for taking time to study God's Word with us. The title of our message this morning is Bright Hope for Tomorrow. Our text, Revelation 19, verse 6. One of the first jobs I had was delivering newspapers with my brother. We did not read the paper back then, but I imagine the headlines were similar to today. All bad news. We live in confusing and troubling times. Good is called evil, and sin is promoted and practiced. Our society flaunts behavior that is shameful, vile, and against nature. Knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. In the midst of the madness, is there anything that can provide peace of mind and heart? Where can we turn to receive bright hope for today and tomorrow? The answer is found in Revelation 19, verse 6. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and the sound of many waters, and as the sound of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigns. This morning we will discuss this beautiful verse and the comfort it brings to those who are in Christ Jesus. Solomon said, there is nothing new under the sun, and that goes for bad news. Look at the darkness of Genesis chapter 3. When sin entered the world, it seemed like the devil had foiled God's plan. All the good things God made for man had been lost forever. Can it be repaired? Was there any hope? God said to Satan, and I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. Time passes, and the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. There were only 8 righteous people left on the earth. Was there any hope? Can sin and the damage it had done be reversed? God destroyed all living things which were on the face of the ground, both man and cattle, creeping thing, and bird of the air. Genesis 7, verse 23. Only Noah and those who were on the ark with him remained alive. When the waters of the flood receded, sin was crouching at the door with strong drink for Noah. Time passes, and man rebels against God at the Tower of Babel. Genesis chapter 11. Since God announced that he would not destroy the world again by a flood, how can he handle this situation? The Lord confused the language of all the earth, and from there the Lord scattered them abroad over the face of all the earth. Genesis 11, verse 9. God calls Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Jacob's descendants are placed in bondage and persecuted for 400 years by a Pharaoh who knew not Joseph. God calls and commissions Moses. With a strong hand, the Lord brought the children of Israel out of Egypt by way of the Red Sea. In the wilderness, the multitude begin to murmur and complain against God. God's chosen people have now turned their back on him. Was there any hope? 2 men over the age of 20, Joshua and Caleb, still believed in God, and through them the plan of redemption continued to unfold. The other 603,550 died in the wilderness. Next, we come to the book of Judges, where every man did what was right in his own eyes because there was no king in Israel. Just look at the cycle of sin. Is there any hope for man? Were things completely out of control? Next, we have the call of Samuel. The nation of Israel rejected God's rule and reign by saying, "We want to be like the nations around us." Saul was anointed king, and look at the mess he made. This resulted in division. 10 tribes were carried off by Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who made Israel to sin. The other 2 tribes, Judah and Benjamin, were unfaithful to the God of their fathers and played the harlot after the gods of the people of the land whom God had destroyed before them. Only a small remnant came out of captivity. The Old Testament ends with the prophet Malachi crying out against the sins of God's people. Was there any hope? Was God in heaven wringing his hands, wondering what to do with these stiff-necked people? There is 400 years of silence, and then the birth of Christ. Surely things will be different now. But the Jews nailed Jesus to the cross. The only sinless man that ever lived was despised and rejected by his own people. The church is established on the day of Pentecost, and look at the hatred and persecution against it from those who claim to love God. That hatred continues against those who require scriptural authority, book, chapter, and verse in context for all that is said and done. Can things get any worse? Has God's plan been overthrown? Has the enemy of the soul won? In the very last book of the Bible, with 3 chapters to go, we read these words, "And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the sounds of many water, and the sound of mightering thundering, saying, Hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigns." Despite man's rebellion, God is on his throne. This passage should thrill our souls. In the midst of all the turmoil and confusion round about, things are not out of control. God is still in charge. Let me suggest 8 reasons why there is bright hope for today and tomorrow. Since God is on his throne, that means I am not. Man is not the master of his own fate. God is not our co-pilot. Failure has always resulted when I did it my way. Man does not determine what is right and wrong. That's God's business. We need to learn early in life that God's word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Nothing can separate us from his loving care when we pattern our lives after his word. Since God is on his throne, then the rulers of the nations are not. Pharaoh thought the world belonged to him, but God was still on his throne. By the time Pharaoh counted to 10, he called for Moses and Aaron by night and said, "Rise, go out from among my people, both you and the children of Israel, and go serve the Lord as you have said." Exodus chapter 12, verse 31. Nebuchadnezzar thought he was on the throne when he commanded everyone to fall down and worship the golden image he had erected. Daniel chapter 3, verse 5. God would have none of that. Nebuchadnezzar was driven from among men and dwelt with the beasts of the field. He ate grass like an ox until he came to himself and acknowledged that the Most High ruled in the kingdom of men and gives it to whomever he wills. This is the same God we serve today. Look at the Arab countries, Russia and China. It seems like world events turn on what these nations do. In the final analysis, the Jews, Arabs, or Americans are not on the throne. The wicked men of this world will not determine the issues of life or their outcome. As long as our lives are in the hollow of His hand and beneath the shadow of His wing, God will see us through the headlines of today. As long as we remain faithful unto death, God has promised to never leave us or forsake us. It should comfort our hearts and give us peace of mind knowing that the Lord God omnipotent reigns. And then again, since God is on His throne, we do not own the world. Psalm 50, verses 10 through 12. Genesis 1:1. In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. In 1901, M.D. Babcock wrote a hymn entitled, "This is My Father's World." This is my Father's world. I rest me in the thought of rocks and trees, of skies and seas. His hands the wonders wrought. This is my Father's world. Oh, let me ne'er forget that though the wrong seems oft so strong, God is the ruler yet. This is my Father's world. Why should my heart be sad? The Lord is King. Let heaven ring. God reigns. Let the earth be glad. In spite of all that is wrong in the world, it is still His world, and He has not let go of it. We are sojourners and pilgrims on our way to that city not made with hands, somewhere beyond the blue. Since God is on His throne, then our lives need to be God-centered and not self-centered. Remember the rich man's barns? He thought within himself, saying, "What shall I do since I have no room to store my crops?" His wealth was not the problem, but the love of it. After coming up with a solution, he said, "Soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry." He said, "My soul," but the Lord took it. Death came at an unexpected, unwelcome, and unsuitable time. He said, "My goods," but death showed him the contrary. Death separated him from his goods. He went one way, and his goods went another. When we focus on the things of the world, our lives will become self-centered. God is first, above, and behind all things. John 1, verses 1 through 4. Colossians 1, verses 15 through 18. Jesus said, "But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." In order to be pleasing to God, He must have first place in our lives. Since God is on His throne, that means He is the judge of all things. God will have the final say. The words of Jesus are designed to lead one out of darkness. John chapter 12, verse 26. "If anyone serves me, let him follow me, and where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, him my Father will honor." The words of Jesus will be the basis on which every person is judged. John chapter 12, verse 48. "He who rejects me and does not receive my words has that which judges him. The words that I have spoken will judge him in the last day." The words of Jesus are designed to give to all who trust and obey eternal life. John chapter 12, verse 50. "And I know that His commandment is everlasting life. Therefore, whatever I speak, just as the Father has told me, so I speak." We can ignore what God says, We can refuse to listen to what God says. But when all is said and done, God will render the final verdict. He will dispose of the matter and condemn me to a Christless eternity for willful disobedience. And then again, since God is on His throne, then chance and fate are not. Que sera, sera. Whatever will be, is a lie straight from the pit. Things don't just happen in this life. Luke chapter 10 records the parable of the Good Samaritan. Verses 31 and 32 says, "Now by chance a certain priest and Levite came down that road and saw the injured man. But their encounter was not an accident. Through the providence of God, it was a test of their faith. It was an opportunity to love their neighbors as themselves. Their decision to walk on by was seen by God and determined their judgment. The fact that the Lord God omnipotent reigns means our life is not left to chance. We are not pawns who do not know from one minute to the next where we stand. We are not tossed to and fro like a ship on a sea. With Word of God in hand, we are not deceived by every wind of false doctrine and the trickery of men. With God's help and direction, we can determine the ultimate issues of life and know that we are in a right relationship with God. Since God is on His throne, we can take heart and say, it is well with my soul." Every Christian should study the life of Paul. On his way to Rome, Paul was aboard a ship that was breaking apart. Acts chapter 27, verses 21 through 25. "But after long absence from food, then Paul stood in the midst of them and said, 'Men, you should have listened to me and not have sailed from Crete and incurred this disaster and loss. And now I urge you to take heart, for there will be no loss of life among you, but only the ship. For there stood by me this night an angel from God to whom I belong and whom I serve, saying, 'Do not be afraid, Paul. You must be brought before Caesar, and indeed God has granted you all those who sail with you. Therefore, take heart, men, for I believe that it will be just as it was told me.'" Notice how calm Paul was all the way through. There is no indication he ever lost his cool. From a prison cell, Paul wrote about the peace of God which surpasses all understanding that will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verse 7. Paul said, "And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you were also called in one body, and be thankful." Colossians 3, verse 15. It literally means to let the peace of God be the umpire in your heart. Let it settle the matter. God never intended for His children to live with all the stress and strain worldly people have. In the midst of bad news, Christians ought to demonstrate in their lives a calmness that the world does not know. Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." In a world that seems hopeless, Christians have hope in God, who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or imagine. In Christ Jesus, there is never a reason to lose hope or throw in the towel. God will always make a way of escape. Finally, Since God is on his throne, death has lost its sting. The very day we were born into this world, death has followed us. Every day we live, we are one day closer to the grave. One day, we don't know how soon that will be, but one day death will catch up with each and every one of us. As we pass the cemetery, the tombstones look so enduring. From the human standpoint, it looks like death is the victor. Until we come to Revelation chapter 19, verse 6. Hallelujah! For the Lord God omnipotent reigns. Just as surely as this body will return to the dust from where it came and never come forth again, death has not won. Hebrews 9, verse 27 says, "And as it is appointed for men to die once, but after this the judgment." Then what? Look at what Paul says in Romans chapter 2, verses 3 through 11. "And do you think, O man, you who judge those practicing such things and doing the same, that you will escape the judgment of God? Or do you despise the riches of his goodness, forbearance, long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance? But in accordance with your hardness and your impenitent heart, you are treasuring up wrath for yourselves, wrath in the day of wrath, and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to each one according to his deeds. Eternal life to those who by patient continuance in doing good seek for glory, honor, and immortality. But to those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish on every soul of man who does evil, of the Jew first and also of the Greek. But glory, honor, and peace to everyone who works what is good, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For there is no partiality with God." One day, when it is too late, those who have not obeyed the gospel will find out that they were deceived into thinking that death is an illusion. Death is nothing more than the ultimate biological reality. Death is merely a transition to a new mode of earthly existence. Death is the termination of human existence. Death is a state of non-conscious existence. One day, when it is too late, untold millions who have not obeyed the gospel will find out that they were deceived into thinking that death involves the continuation of a human family relation, that there is no recognition after death. Death constitutes a period of probation and preparation. It is possible to communicate with the dead, and that death is the final and permanent state of the body. How tragic that there are so many false ideas regarding death. It is incumbent upon the serious Bible student to study the sacred scriptures to avoid being deceived. In spite of all the difficulties, confusion, and anxieties of this world, God is on his throne. How much is that worth to you? I would rather go home tonight knowing that I am a simple Christian than to have all the riches of this world. How about you? Are you a Christian today? If you are not a Christian, think about what you're missing. No wonder you're disturbed, confused, and anxious, trying to figure out how things will work out, instead of being a Christian and saying, "God is on his throne, and he will take care of me." Peace of mind can be yours today by obeying the gospel. If you have allowed the world to turn your mind from Him, then return to your first love through repentance, confession, and praying and asking forgiveness for your sins. It is a blessing for us to study God's Word with you.